This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Alrighty, 12:01 back on the Fan. We are halfway home. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show. We're going all in. Tiki, take it away. What do you have, bud?
I'm all in on Kodai Senga elevating to the ace that the Mets need to get them where they need to go. Obviously, Verlander and Scherzer are paid to be those guys at $43 million apiece, but Kodai Senga came over from Japan, and he obviously had some troubles with some of these starts, but there's some others where he just looks sublime and unhittable, like he was last night. Good 9 strikeouts, and he went seven innings, 100 pitches. He looked like he had full command of not only his fastball, but his ghost fork, which he was throwing for strikes. Usually he throws it down and away, or at least it breaks away, and guys are left swinging. But he was throwing them for strikes, which is something if he can do consistently and mix it up with throwing them outside the zone, then who knows how good this season can be for him. But with the up-and-down roller coaster season that the Mets have been having, they need somebody that they can count on in every 5 games, in his case every 6, because of Buck's handling of his starts. But if he can be that guy, then we're less worried about Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander's early season inconsistencies. Now, he's been inconsistent too, but if he is this at 30 years old, the Mets got a lot to look forward to as the season goes on.
All right, 12:02 here. T, good stuff. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. You know, one thing, not that it's not like this at Yankee Stadium, but I've always thought that whether it was Shea or even City, one of the different characteristics, like when a Met delivers like a sublime pitching performance, mm-hmm. I feel like it sounds a little different than it does in the Bronx. Can't quantify that. That's
meaning
just
positively? Or?
Positively. Yeah. Like more energetic, more like you go back to whether it's Gooden, whether it's Matt Harvey, all the great, even Syndergaard, like those nights, Johan Santana, whatever. Maybe it's, I don't know, this is just a stab. Maybe it's the National League roots and a deeper appreciation for pitching and defense going back 3 generations. I don't know. But I know that last night sounded really interesting. And I'm certainly all in on giving Senga props. He was fantastic, man. He was filthy, no other way to put it. But I'm stopping short of where Tiki is going only because there's too many checkpoints that I need to see him navigate before I can, muster up the confidence that Tiki is showing today. Although I do respect it, and I'd love to see it, I'm not going there yet. Number one, how do the Mets navigate this extra rest the rest of the year? They're going to have to come to some middle ground, I think,
yep,
that's favorable to Senga, favorable to the team, number one. What happens? That doesn't, not going to be a problem anytime soon, but eventually going to start getting chilly out there again before you know it. When we're watching the Jets and the Giants and the Yanks and the Mets, how's he navigate the cold? Just saying. How does he navigate other lineups when they start to see the ghost pitch? Maybe he still is the man, but as you start to get used to it, maybe it's less shockish, if you will. So, again, he was absolutely great. You want to say he shoved it down my throat? That's fine. You want to tell me, Stevie Cohen tweeted at you the other day, sticking up for his boy? I love it. Because if Senga doesn't pitch much better, which was really the genesis of my tweets, the Mets are going nowhere. Almost independent of what Scherzer and Verlander do, they need this guy at minimally, to be a middle of the rotation horse, a constant, a high strikeout guy, a high game, a high leverage kind of game guy. And last night, if that's a foreshadow of the future, they got it. But I'm stopping short of going all in on him absolutely being that guy. I need more. I just need a little bit more. 877-337-6666. All right. So obviously a lot of different baseball issues today, whether it's Judge Alonso, a little renaissance with this Yankees offense, Senga last night. Dewey's down in Alabama on the Free Odyssey app. What's happening, Dewey? How are you?
How you doing, guys?
What's I'm up, good. Buddy?
So, you know, I agree with you on that. That, you know, you can't judge it by one outing whether or not he's going to be an ace or not. I mean, first of all, if you look at the Cincinnati team, they didn't swing at those pitches. That's why he walked a lot of balls.
Yeah,
a lot of guys on balls.
Yeah, and he adjusted to that. He adjusted to it, Dewey. And this is why I say he can find this. He started throwing that pitch in the zone, so it was breaking into the zone as opposed to breaking out of the zone.
You know what? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was watching the game last night, and you know what? Even Ron Darling said, you know, the first time around, knowing and hearing about the pitch is one thing, but actually seeing it is another. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the slot, the arm slot is exact same. Yeah. That's why it's so hard to pick up, because you think it's 90-something.
Yeah. But that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure to put on the guy to become an ace. You know, he's got to adjust. Like you say, he's got to adjust to the pitching schedule for the 5 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to weigh in on this Judge versus Alonso thing.
Go ahead.
Judge is by far a better player. He can do more. He can't go to right field and rob people of a home run. So from that aspect, he's the man.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I had to start a franchise, I'm not so sure I wouldn't take Alonso, because I'd get 5 more years, you know, out of the guy.
Interesting.
That.
Yeah. I mean, listen, yeah. if it was just a year or so, it's pretty negligible at that point. But, yeah, there's a gap there. And listen, the Mets better get this contract done soon.
Yeah.
They will. But longer they wait, they're going to lose money.
So you know me, BT, and my rabbit hole. So I got
what
in a rabbit hole just at the field dimensions.
Oh.
And so and Pete Alonso's spray chart as opposed to Aaron Judge. And when you look at it, you just kind of forget that Pete's got 3 doubles, 4 doubles. Judge has got a ton. I mean, at least 8, maybe 10. He's got 10 doubles, right? So his extra base hits to go along with his home runs. I mean, it's basically the same. They hit the ball to left center a lot and deep center, both of them.
Uh-huh.
And the dimensions honestly don't matter, because the ball is so deep into the stands, at least according to the spray chart, it doesn't matter, right? Even though Citi Field is 370 or 375, or 358 to 375 in left center, the ball is way gone. Same with Judge, even though he's 380 something to left center, 390, the ball is gone. So it almost doesn't matter, but they hit almost exactly the same. Just Judge hits a lot more extra base hits than Pete Alonso does.
Yeah, no, that's why he's got a higher average as well, runs better. Mm-hmm. Dole, what were you saying in my ear? I'm sorry.
I'm on this website, Savant.
Oh, that's a great website. Baseball, what'd you find?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
So if you look at expected home runs by ballpark,
yep.
Yeah,
it says for this year, 2023, if he played at Yankee Stadium, it'd be 15 less, fewer home runs.
Mm. Yeah. So there you go. Harder. So he's saying that he's hitting.
Well, not harder, but the way he's hitting the ball, he's not getting more home runs.
Who? Just because... This is Alonso.
Correct.
Yeah. And that the contention of the caller was, if he was playing Yankee Stadium, it would be the opposite. And I challenge that, because yeah. I just know the dimensions. I mean, if you focus on the right field foul line, much like if you focus on just the pesky pole or the short fence in Fenway, now, granted, that's two big aspects of the field, but dead center is a beast of a shot out there in Fenway. So yeah. it really just
And by
depends.
The way, left center is 400 feet.
At Yankee Stadium, 395, left center.
Which is where Alonso hits a lot of his home runs. So
yeah.
Again, the ones he's hit this year, they're way gone, so they'd still be home runs, but some of them might not be over time.
Yeah, let me get Ryan, go to Staten Island. What up, Ryan? How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure, okay. Man.
You know, big Yankee fan, and I just want to give a shout-out to IKF. You know, I feel like
yeah.
he catches a lot of heat from Yankee fans, which, look, I get it. He didn't play a great shortstop for us last year. But I don't think he's a natural shortstop. And, you know, he loses the spot to Volpe in spring training, and he doesn't mail it in. He doesn't say anything stupid to the media. He puts his head down, and, you know, he does what he needs for us. And, you know, you can plug him any way you need. And I think he balances the lineup out a little bit. You know, he hits line drives. He's not going to give you home runs. We know that. But, you know, I think we should appreciate him more.
If you hit 400, if you get 400 and have 10 hits over your last, I don't know, eight games, you don't need to hit home runs. Just get on base, score. He's athletic. He plays everywhere. Played shortstop a couple days. Played center field, left field. He plays everywhere.
I know.
I didn't realize this till you guys just told me off air. He came up as a catcher.
Nah, I mean, so he sees the games in a very cerebral manner, which I think helps him, you know, bouncing around the field there. He's a great teammate. He's got great positional versatility, and he accepts his role.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't really have much of a choice. You either accept it or you don't. But if you don't accept it, it's going to be felt throughout the clubhouse.
Yep.
And it's going to permeate the fan base. Like, Aaron Hicks didn't accept his role. So aside from, who's, by the way, now with the Orioles, oh my God, that's going to be hysterical when he comes in. But if Aaron Hicks was a little bit more accepting, granted, it was going on for so long, I still think the ire would have been strong. But, I mean, ICANN doesn't cause a stir at all. He's the exact opposite. He's a unifier. I think he's great for Volpe. I think he's good for even Gleyber. I just think he's a great guy. And I think that part of the reason why he got a lot of the shrapnel last year is because we lumped him in with Donaldson. We're like, wow, you traded Sanchez for Donaldson and IKN. And really, the energy was mostly at Donaldson, because last year Donaldson was making $25 million. Yep. This year he's making $21 million. So we were all pissed off at that. He was a strikeout machine. You know, he's hurt again this year. At the end of the day, ICANN's making relative peanuts. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's going to play three or four different positions. Then he's hit a little bit, and he can run. So, yeah, we got to start respecting this man. This IKF slander is no longer accepted.
It is. I mean, the expectation is not high. So when you play great like he has been the last 15 games, you're going to get lauded for it. So it is what it is.
Let's go to Malvern and say what's up to Artie on the Fan. Hey, Artie, how you doing?
What's going on, guys?
Yep.
Going back to the judge breaking the record 2 years in a row, what about the 56-game hitting streak? I'm surprised you didn't mention that, BT, being the big Yankee home.
Being the big Yankee home. I thought you said the big Yankee fan. He slips in the big Yankee home.
But has anyone gotten – what was the last person? I don't know off the top of my head. Who got close to that recently already?
Let's see.
Off the top of my head, I do not know, but I don't think it's been very close at all.
No, there was somebody in the 40s. Was it a Marlin? Why do I think it was a Marlin? What was that skinny guy who could fly?
Not Juan Pierre.
No, not. I don't think it was Pierre.
I feel like McCutcheon may have had something. Or was it a Dodger?
By the way, Artie, to address your question directly, the reason why I didn't invoke the 56-game hit streak by Joe DiMaggio is because I was thinking about records in succession. I mean, if we're talking individual records, you can just do a show on that, which is, you know, nobody's doing that here. But it just came up organically. If you don't know what we're talking about, because we're having this Judge Alonso conversation. I mean, every night, if you're staying up to watch him in Seattle, I mean, Aaron Judge hits a home run every freaking night. Even his foul balls are threatening to go fair and go gone. It's crazy. So he's back on a streak. He's got, 19 bombs, whatever it is. He's got a 1,500 OPS basically since he came back, and he looks better than he did a year ago, which is almost inconceivable. But as he pursues maybe 60 again, and Tiki thinks he's going to get there, I'm less convinced, but certainly hopeful. If he did it again, if you have a 60-year record, Roger Maris broke that record in 1961 when he hit 61 home runs. Aaron Judge hit one more a year ago, 60-plus years later. If you do it back-to-back years, the level of impress, if you will, for that kind of record, it's just not even record, that accomplishment, that baseball footnote, that in baseball lore, I don't know how you top that.
Yeah.
It's not back-to-back MVPs because it's been done. Dale Murphy, Bonds, others have done it. It's not back-to-back Cy Youngs. That's been done. Nobody's hit 400 in our lifetime. Tony Gwynn was threatening when they canceled back in 94. George Brett hit 390 back in 1980. So it's not going to be that. I don't know. I don't really know what it would be.
56 is never going to happen. It's a good point that he brought up. Whit Merrifield, the Kansas City Royals.
Was it Whit? How many did he have?
31 games in 2018-19. Okay. Other than that.
Wasn't there somebody else from the Marlins?
So since 2000, these are the top. There's like six guys that have 30-plus games. Albert Pujols had 30 games in 2003. Merrifield, 31, 18-19. Dan Uggla, the amazing Dan Uggla.
I remember Danny, a little power hitting second base.
33 games, 2011. Chase Utley, 35 in 2006.
Oh, Mets enemy.
Luis Castillo.
Yeah.
35 games with the Marlins in 2002. And then Jimmy Rollins, 38 games. It was 05 to 06, so transferred over.
Now, when Pete Rose, because Pete Rose was threatening, can you look this up? I think it was 1978. You'll appreciate this.
78.
1978. Hold on. Let me see if I remember this. So Gene Garber ended it. Gene Garber was a side-arming relief pitcher for the Braves. And I believe he got him out on an outside fastball or outside slider. And Pete Rose had broken, if I recall, Wee Willie Keeler's all-time National League mark.
Yeah.
And I believe it was 78. And Dove, I don't know if you remember this, but I feel like it was Monday Night Baseball. Is that true? Was that a Monday Night Baseball game? Was it Garber? It was definitely Garber.
Yeah, he struck out Rose in the ninth inning to end the streak.
Yep, but what year was it? Was it 78?
78, yeah.
Or was it Monday Night Baseball?
I think
so. Four for four here, T. Just saying.
I only said Whit Merrifield because he's the active player that's left that's done it.
Yeah.
Nobody exactly. else is. I mean, Pujols is still active.
I'm surprised that was Jeter never messed around.
Ryan Zimmerman, he's active. Or he's not anymore. But
no, your boy from Virginia.
From Virginia.
And he's not a very... Usually guys need to run. And Merrifield does.
Yeah. Freddie Freeman is still active. He had 30 games in 2016.
Let me tell you something. Freddie Freeman is... He is better than I thought. And I know he's amazing.
He's
Freddie Freeman is amazing.
Some above average players.
Understood, but you just can't get him out. No, I mean, lefties, righties, high, low, in, out, fast, soft. He's just incredible.
Let him have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
All right, 12:21 back on the Fantique and Tierney Show. This excites me. Well, it doesn't take much when it comes to the Jets, but. So Connor Hughes, who you know I love, I think does a great job. Don't know him personally, but have interacted with him a few times and really respect his work, both on SNY and on social media. Great coverage for the Jets and the Giants. But pertaining to the Jets, he just tweeted this. Let's see. Aaron Rodgers is casually throwing 50-yard passes on a damn rope to a member of the Jets training staff. He's not even taking a step. He's just flicking his wrist, and it's flying. Can't say I've ever seen that before. Oh, keep them coming. Keep those tweets coming, Connor. Love it. I mean, it's going to take forever this season to get here. And speaking of the Jets, happy birthday, Joe Namath. I mean, man, all the symmetry's here. You know, Aaron's throwing 50-yard darts to some intern on the sideline, and Joe Namath's birthday's today.
The intern. The intern doesn't even know how to catch a ball.
They could have played high school football. What do you mean?
Much less interpret what a throw he's throwing.
Ah, come on. Wait, you don't think that these interns played high school football at the minimum? Okay.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Are you trying to impugn the integrity of the athleticism?
It could be Woody Johnson's cousin or nephew or something.
That is true. And they're doing crew because they grew up with billions instead of playing football. Oh, man. All right. Let's get back to you here. So, we've got the judge. Oh, I just put let me check the early results. I just put a poll up. Wow, it's incredibly original. More bombs in 2023. Alonzo or Judge? Right now, before the Met fans, I'm sure, will try to hijack this, Judge is at 59.2%. Literally just put it up. Couple of hundred votes. I want to see where this thing goes. These polls are ridiculous, though. I mean, they really are. First of all, they're largely mindless.
Yes.
And they're rooted in nothing but unadulterated fandom. There's not an ounce of subjectivity that creeps into this
stuff.
There's
no thought that goes into reacting.
Oh, I see Alonzo's name. Click. Oh, I see Judge's name. Click. That's it. Now, let's get back to you here. How about Milton in Brooklyn? Milt, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo.
Great job, like always. I want to just give you a comparison. Now Tiki, I mean, Brandon.
Yeah.
I want you to answer for the younger fans that didn't see him play. Just give me a perspective on how good he was.
Okay.
How good was Dominique Wilkins? How big of a star was he?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Now we're talking.
Yeah
this is my language, Milt. Dominique Wilkins.
He was lasting. He was lasting.
All right. Dominique Wilkins was I mean, that next cut below Jordan, whatever,
exactly.
Whatever that
that's
was,
my,
that was him.
That's my point. That's my point.
Yep.
Alonzo is Dominique Wilkins, but he's not Jordan. Mm-hmm. And that's what Judge is. Judge is Jordan, and it goes into way more than just what goes on the field, my people. This man will make any owner so much money because of jerseys, people wanting to see him play, people turning the TV on. My mother knows who Judge is. She doesn't know who Alonzo is.
Yeah.
It's all about other things.
Yeah, he transcends.
Oh, who's better? Who's better? Because I'm a fan. Let's look at it through the truth. The truth is this guy's bigger than baseball right now. It's over the top. He is a freak of nature. He's a must-watch. And that's not Alonzo. Alonzo's a great baseball player.
Yep.
He's probably going to be a Hall of Fame Met. And I respect him. And listen, when he comes up, the guy's a beast. But he's not Aaron effing Judge.
Yeah.
Okay?
I agree.
Let's stop.
I agree. You have to convince me. And I really respect Pete. I like him. He's not Judge.
Listen,
nobody is.
He's not Judge. Nobody is. Listen, my two little questions before I leave, because
yep.
I'm on my way to work.
Okay, man.
Will there be a future... And will you be unhappy about uniforms getting advertising on it in baseball? And the last question you can answer, I don't know when you're going to answer it.
They have it already, by the way, Milton.
Yeah, the Mets have it.
And
you'll get used to it.
You'll just get used to it. I mean, it's going to suck for Yankees, but you'll get used to it, I think.
You get used to it. My last question for both of you is, will the Jets ever in my lifetime have their own stadium? I'll leave you with that, guys. God bless you. Great show.
Thank I mean, buddy. That's wow, actually very a really hard questions. Question.
And by the way, I used to, just quickly on the ads, I used to really resist that. Now, I didn't care if, like, the Padres or the Rays or, I don't know, some other teams that really didn't have a deep and incredible history. Yeah, that's one thing. You got to monetize the brand. But I always objected to, like, the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Celtics or, like, say, the 49ers or the Cowboys succumbing to that. But as a long time ago, it's only going to, meaning I gave up on that battle not that long ago, a couple of years ago, where I'm like, accept it. First, it was the practice gear, which I didn't care about. Now it's infiltrated the game on uniforms. Deal with it. New stadium? That wouldn't surprise me. Jets have it out there. They have it out. It wouldn't surprise me. You?
It's a hard question. It's a good question because I almost feel like it's necessary because it just feels like the Jets are forever the little brother, even though they're not. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying it just feels that way because even though it's MetLife now, I still screw this up and the thing's been up for 15 years. I still call it Giant Stadium half the time.
Yeah, but you're really the only one who does that. I don't hear anybody else doing that.
Some people do. No, a lot of people do.
I haven't heard it once.
If you do it mindlessly, you just do it.
I got you.
Giant Stadium.
I got you.
And so until they have their own place, it is theirs.
Yeah.
It's going to feel like they're the second tenant, even though they're the co-tenants right now at MetLife.
Yeah.
The problem is, in the Northeast, that's a grip, dude.
You're right.
That's a lot of money.
Why don't we have a roof? Because it's too expensive.
Exactly. Because it would have cost $3 billion to build. It already cost $1.9 or something like that. And Jerry World cost $1.5 or $1.4.
Look at the difference.
Exactly. That thing can fit 100,000 because the seats are on rails.
Even, you know, when you're on Route 3, even that little, like it says MetLife Stadium, that's even like, I think it's 1980.
I know.
It's so weak.
It just costs too much.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I think will prevent
the Citi Field
Jets.
Looks good. Yankee Stadium. I mean, I like the old Yankee Stadium better, but it looks good.
It's half the capacity, right?
Yeah, that's true, too.
So,
that's true.
I mean, you're going to put 80,000.
Less parking. That's true.
You're going to need 80,000 people and 80,000 parking spots.
That's true.
And you can't do the parking towers because it would take forever. It already takes forever.
Oh.
Exactly. I'm going to say no. The advertising.
Huh. I'm still going to say possible because I think there's a chance he gets with Steve Cohen. Mm. I really do. Mm. I do.
That could be interesting.
I do. But
that,
continue.
That could be.
I do. I leave
so
that
the
possibility open.
The reason I got okay with advertising is because I became an EPL fan.
Yep.
Right? You look at Liverpool, and I'm just saying that because that's the team I follow. The Liverpool Football Club, the logo, it's tiny. It's just like a little logo right here. I had to go look at it to make sure. And it's Standard Chartered on the front of their jersey. Like the name you see is the advertiser. You don't see Liverpool. You see the sponsor name. Then they have Expedia on the sleeve and all these other things going on. So I don't mind it, and it's coming because it's a way to bring more money into the game, which, by the way, means
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
More money for the players.
Yeah, no,
so I
got
you.
No, it's common sense applied there when you look at it that way. So, two things I wanted to take away from Milton's call. What is something on Judge's, you know, prowess, like his perception right now. I'll get back to that in a moment. But the only thing about the and I hear you, and like we always kid around.
Yeah,
the stadium, the Giant Stadium. All right, Giant Stadium.
It's also because I played a decade in Giant Stadium.
Oh, do you get
my job?
Yes,
was actually in Giant Stadium. Like I didn't go to work someplace else.
Yeah.
Practice, our meetings, everything was at Giant Stadium.
You've earned a pass, buddy. It's okay. Now that you have a lifetime pass.
But I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You earned it. But I think that, like, if... Okay, I'll take my son, who's 8. As he gets older, right? He wasn't even born. He was born in 2015. So the Meadowlands means nothing to him.
Yeah,
he
right.
just sees MetLife and, hey, Dad, we pass it all the time.
He has no idea what it was there before.
There's the Jet Stadium. And he knows the Giants play there as well, and there's concerts. But... he associates that with his favorite team.
So what you're saying is in time,
yeah,
it becomes less of a
giant. Yes, because it's just, yeah. I mean, like the Polo Grounds to me, I don't want to say it means nothing because I really appreciate history. I've talked to a lot of older people about it, you know, but I wasn't around.
Yeah.
I wasn't around for Ebbets Field. So it's just a concept. It's not ingrained in my soul. It's not ingrained in my vernacular. I have no snapshots in my mind. It's just not. So like to me... if you're young,
yeah.
you're not gonna say Giants Stadium.
Yeah.
Never, dude. Never.
The only other mitigator, in a sense, and not he's not mitigating the wrong word, but you know what I mean. The decider is the Giants facility is right there.
It's yeah, right. It says Quest. It's kind of the name throws you
yeah.
off. That's a Giants
but
Stadium.
When you go there, if you're just randomly driving on Route 3,
you do see the logo, the NY.
You see Giants. You think Giants are right here.
You do.
Look, the practice facility is right next to the stadium.
Well, that's why I preoccupy my son when we're driving past it. We change the stage. Yeah, you like this song, buddy?
Yeah, look at
so we can't see the logo.
Look at the thing called Xanadu.
The diversionary tactic.
Xanadu.
What are going on that Ferris wheel, buddy?
American Dream.
Yeah.
That's what it is now. But the Jets are in Fulham Park. The Jets are in Fulham Park. So it's a little bit out in the suburb.
Yep. Boy, you always try to get that last word in there, huh?
It is.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's my hometown right now.
You want to be a Jet so bad, it's embarrassing. You live in the Jets' hometown.
I love Nate Hackett.
I love
Nate Hackett.
Why don't you go work for the Jets? Seriously. let me ask you a question. Serious question. The Jets, because you are tight with these guys. And
community
you're right
relations.
There. Yeah, exactly.
There's no Jet fans in the area. I mean, there are, but there aren't.
In Fulham Park?
Yeah.
It's all business. Not all, I shouldn't say, but
it's a lot of business. They need to do more outreach because they could get a generation's worth of affluent Jet fans.
You've actually said that for a while.
Because there are lots of towns.
You've said that.
Morristown
for sure. Parsippany, right?
Parsippany, yeah. Fulham Park, Madison, Chatham,
yeah.
Summit. Like
That's
all these
right.
towns.
Montvale?
Exactly. All they're right there.
I know.
Surrounding.
Alpine. We'll get them all right over
there. Alpine's
a little. We'll jump over there. Yeah, you know, we'll get them all.
Yeah.
But recruit everybody.
They could get out in the community and make a generation of Jet fans.
I got you. But let's say I want to at least ask you the question. Joe Douglas calls you. I've heard you on the air for...
Come coach the running backs?
No. I'm going to show you a little more respect than that.
Okay.
Not that I'm trying to denigrate or downgrade the position or the importance, but no, we're going higher than that. But
right.
If you're going to lead WFN, you're not going to go and coach a couple of running backs. You're going to go and basically run the team with Joe.
And get fired in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. No, what we're going to do for Teak is Joe Douglas is going to make you an offer as the assistant general manager.
Mm.
Okay. With a path for elevation.
Mm.
You're going to make more money than you're making here. The job security is about the same. You never know.
Could go home for lunch.
You can go home for lunch. But you're now working for the Jets.
Mm.
What would you do?
Mm. I never say no to an opportunity, but I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
I'd have to. It's funny because I've had these conversations before.
I imagine you have.
With Nate
teams,
and
right?
others talking about the need for former athletes that have, you know, college degrees, can think critically, can, you know, have a business bend, they need to be in football. Because you end up getting a lot of guys that are in decision-making positions that never played the game.
100%. Mike Maignan.
Never played it.
Like Mike Maignan or Idzik.
And they make, I feel like this is the right thing to do, instead of, I know this is the right thing to do.
Yeah,
There's a difference.
I got you.
Ronde almost did that with the Falcons.
Yeah, he's not putting down the driver anytime soon. He's not putting down a pitching wedge. But he's got enough money. He's good.
But they had a program where they were trying to, the Falcons, I forget who the president is. We talked to him when they had this new stadium came up. I can't remember his name now. He's the president of the Falcons. But anyways, he reached out.
Wait, you're talking about the owner? No, Arthur Blank?
Not Arthur Blank.
We had Arthur on there.
We did have Arthur, but we also had the president.
Got you.
When they had the whole, whatever it is, $6.
No, they sent us a $2 bill.
Yeah, that's right. $2 bill. They had a program where they were trying to groom young general managers, and they were going after former players. And Ronde considered it. He really did.
Really?
Because if Ronde got back in the game, that's what it would be.
Interesting.
In that capacity.
All right. 8-7. Yeah, well, listen. Not I don't think he's going to sweep the floor of the practice facility. The Hall of Famer's got to start a little higher than that.
We have a mic, and you have a phone. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
All right, so, listen, when these teams have the organized workouts, Jets and the Giants, little slivers of info will pop in, and we'll get it to you here. I wanted to get Tiki's opinion on this here. Robert Saleh said that Breece Hall's up to 22 miles per hour on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, and he's optimistic that based on the numbers that, being spit back at them early, in the summer, that he's feeling optimistic about week one.
Yeah.
So put that into context. 22 versus what?
It's
versus
a non-stat.
What does it mean?
It's a non-stat. Just sounds good. Because no running back runs straight.
Yep.
I mean, wide receiver, maybe I'd be impressed by that.
If it said 18, it wouldn't mean anything versus 25. It basically literally means nothing.
Because that's not a running back's job. To run straight. You have so much responsibility as a running back.
No
and
doubt.
Very little of it is linear.
But his I'm not challenging you with the running back thing here.
Just by nature of his position, he's sitting side saddle to a quarterback, so he's not even going downhill half the time.
But a lot of his touchdowns are long breakaways.
I understand even at Iowa State. I'm not even talking about that. Yeah. But to get to that point,
I got you.
There's so much lateral movement. The only thing I care about with a knee injury is, are you stable going left and right? Right? Are you comfortable going left and right? Do you trust putting your full body's weight plus the weight of some other defender on that leg? So your weight plus whatever on that leg. If the answer is no, then you're not ready.
Okay.
Linear speed is just, it's great. This doesn't mean anything for football.
Okay.
Football's not a linear sport.
That's why we're on a run and buy.
Football's not a linear sport. You know that.
Yep. You seem to be the only one who's not overly enthused with that number.
Oh, I'm excited about it, of course. If I were Breece Hall, but it doesn't tell me anything.
Okay.
Guy can run straight.
Fast.
Okay, but...
I'm with you. I hear what you're saying. I just saw the tweet, and everybody was pretty worked up in a positive way over it. So,
well, that's why you asked me.
Exactly. And get the real. Get the real from the running back. We get Nikki and Hamilton. What up, Nick? How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. How are you?
Good, man. Yourself?
How are you?
Thank you.
Doing good. Thank you. Big fan of the show. Thank you. I just wanted to touch on something you said earlier about Senga. Met fans are just, they're starving for somebody to come and turn this team around. And I think everybody's got to realize that this guy just came over from another country.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he come from another country, now he's playing in probably the hardest city to play in the country. Tiki, you could attest to this.
Yep.
I think we all just got to take a back seat, let the guy mess up, let him have a great game, let him repeat the cycle. He's going to figure it out. He's showing us that he's a great pitcher. I think that we need to just relax a little bit, maybe take a whole season, let the guy get some experience in, and he's going to break out.
Well, the problem is
going to be that take.
Nick, your take is right. But the problem is the Mets have this urgency, at least in our minds, to win a World Series. And I'm trying to remember, BT, Tanaka, Masahiro Tanaka, when he came here.
Yep.
What our expectation was.
I think he was an amazing Yankee. I think he was a very good Yankee. I always thought he was going to be slightly more.
Yeah, but he was the ace. I mean, he kind of took over at that time when CeCe was aging out, right? And then he became the opening day starter.
Yep. He was very good.
I feel like it happened right away, though. Like, he became... And then he just kind of settled in. He never got significantly better, but he didn't get significantly worse either.
Well, he only made two All-Star games. You know, he was a two-time All-Star, and he was here 7 years. So the way it was billed and the stuff and the touting of the stuff, again, he was good. He was really good. It was great. I mean, his ERA was 3.75.
I don't remember his I don't remember his pitch repertoire either.
Yeah. Well, he had a splitty.
But it wasn't anything.
He didn't have a ghost ball. Exactly. He didn't have a pitch that he named in Japan. No, he did not.
That's what I mean.
No. Let me see. Hold on.
They don't even track it, really. They don't have an expectation of what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. ERAs in succession, 2.77, outstanding. That was year one. He was an all-star. 3.51, little step back, didn't love it. 3.07, solid. 4.74, 3.75.
Good rebound, but...
Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, almost four.
Yeah.
The next year, 4.45. And then his last year at the age of 31, he was over 3.5. So, all in all, good for sure. But I thought there was going to be a little bit more electricity. That's what I always thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that every time, like Hideki Arabu, you know, when he took the mound, I remember Arabu. You remember the name that you were playing?
I do, but I don't remember anything that happened in his tenure.
Oh, God, I could be wildly off on this. I feel, this is ironic, too. Dove, I need a little confirmation, sir. So 1997, if I have this right, I know this aspect I have right. I was an intern at the Fan.
Yeah.
Okay. And I played on the softball team. And I remember after the game, we went to have some beers with the guys that we played softball, like with Shoes in. I think Bill Daughtry was on that. Whoever played, right? Definitely with Shoes in. And I'm almost positive that Hideki Arabu pitched that night while we were in the bar.
Okay.
Watching, I think Bob Hughes, and I'm pretty sure they played the Tigers. And he had like 11 or 12 strikeouts. And we were pumped. And I think it was his debut. And we're like, oh, this guy's sick. This guy's filthy. So one of his next starts, he gets the ball on a Sunday night, and I'm out at the Hamptons for the weekend.
Okay.
I come back with my boy Rob. It's our first apartment. We just graduated college, and we're living down by Montague Street in downtown Brooklyn, mm-hmm. Brooklyn Heights. And we get, like, a bunch of Sapporo beers. We get We get Japanese beers to celebrate. And, I don't know, my friend had this little, has like a little Japanese doll that we, I don't even know where he got it from. And Arabu got lit, and he just wound up, like, lighting it on fire. Like, we all, on our TV set, too. Like, we always thought, and we think, same with, you know, and listen, any Japanese import, because the ones who do well are so dominant. Mm-hmm. We just expect, like, Senga, right away, bang, you've got to be dominant. That's not always the case. Though, what was his debut, Arabu?
July 10th, 97, against Detroit.
It was. Did he have a lot of strikeouts?
Like nine.
Nine, okay. Yeah.
I was actually there that game. I was in the upper left field.
Were you really?
Yes, my whole family.
What?
You thought he was going to be the guy. I just think that we happened to get a Yankee package that year because, again, for my sister and my mother who are Yankee fans.
Sure.
And we happened to get that day. And we even brought, like, listen, I had 20 people. Like, my cousins showed up, too. It was, like, a huge. And, again, like, the place was packed.
Yeah.
And exactly, like, Hideki Arabu's first start, this is going to be incredible.
It was a big thing, boy.
And the Fat Toad delivered 9 strikeouts.
Oh, I don't call that. That's what George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner called him
that
when he was still on the team.
What?
Called him a Fat Toad. To quote, dude, look it up. And the sad thing is, Hideki Arabu died very young.
Did he? I don't know the story.
He's been dead, I would say, at least 10 years ish. Definitely.
Maybe less than that, but yeah.
But
he's in 2011.
11 years?
He died in 2011.
Yeah, so over 10 years, like I said.
Mm.
What a great start and you know, what a sad finish. But, yeah, how about that quote? You want to talk about, so think about how we talk about Steinbrenner pertaining to Hal. I mean, imagine Hal calling somebody a fat toad.
No.
Or imagine him just eviscerating Hicks with a comparable comment about the way he looked or Donaldson, whoever, whatever.
What do you think George Steinbrenner would say about Daniel Vogelbach?
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one, but I don't think it would be very pretty. Definitely worse than what Reyes said, which is swing to bat. 877-337-6666. Long Island, what's happening? Tommy, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hello, Tom.
I'm enjoying this talk about Tanaka. First, I'm going to say, Arabu didn't just die. He committed suicide.
Yeah, that's right. He hung himself.
Such
a shame, yeah. But back to Tanaka, a little bit more positive. The Japanese ace pitchers all wear number 18. And when he came over to the Yankees, they had the 18 ready for him, and he refused it. He took 19 instead. Very humble guy.
He took Tanaka.
Yeah. And then you were talking about how his fastball wasn't as fast as it used to be. If you also remember, in his first season with the Yankees, he tore a tendon in his elbow. Most people would have stopped and had surgery.
I remember this.
I think he had a no-hitter when he got hurt.
Yeah, I remember this.
He pitched his entire career
yes. in that pain.
And he never got it fixed.
Never had the surgery.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Never had a partial tear, slight tear, was able to fight through. Yep. That's a great memory. You're absolutely right, Tommy. Maybe he wasn't working a no-hitter, but early on he was flashing some pretty nasty stuff. And maybe there was a slight diminishment in stuff because his first year probably explains some of it.
Yeah,
that's
what
I'm saying.
The later last couple of year inconsistencies. But at 31, like at 31, you're not saying, yeah, he's done. Send him back to Japan.
No, no, he went on his own volition. Yankees didn't want him to necessarily
leave. That's what I'm saying. So the fact that he only stayed 7 years and he went back and he's still pitching, right? Is he still pitching?
I don't know if he's pitching this year. He might be. I mean, very well might be. I mean, he's still fairly young. He's about 38, 39. I mean, why couldn't he be? He'd be the young guy on the Mets staff.
No, you're right.
All right, let me get Tony up in the Bronx. What's cooking, Tone?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing,
Tony? All's good, Tony. What's happening, man?
Hey, pal.
Hey, I just wanted to just drop in. And, BT, I told you in the beginning of the season a month ago when the Yanks were falling apart, what was it, like April 26th or something? I think it was like a Wednesday because I remember the day getting off of work. I'm a nurse, so I work all night, get off at 7 a.m. I'm listening to you guys, and I'm like, the world is not falling apart. The Yanks got at least three or four streaks in them. The Rays aren't going to keep this up. And I don't know, do you remember that, BT? And that was
my thing.
And, all right, you remember that.
Yep.
Giants God, you know.
By the way, it is.
Hey, by the way, it is Giants Stadium, though. I'm sorry.
That's that, right?
It's MetLife.
Tony, you just can't help yourself. It's too many years of going to Giants Stadium.
MetLife.
I'm saying. But, BT.
Yes.
So, see, and I love you because you're a Yankee fan like me, man. You feel the stress and the sadness and everything, man. But I'm going to tell you right now, I got the Yanks winning the division on this one. These Rays are not going anywhere. And the Orioles, oh, my goodness. Did anybody see them coming out of this? But nobody did.
Well, Mullins got hurt. Mullins is out for a while. He pulled – what did Cedric Mullins do? He's out until, like, late June, some sort of –
They picked up Aaron Hicks.
And they picked up Pixie. Pixie to the Stixie.
They got Hicks, and so, you know, good for him, though.
Yeah, I hear
you. All right, I'm not mad at it.
Just because all of my brothers loved him on the team, you know, good for him, and that's it.
Yep.
But, hey, BT, I'm going to tell you right now, I love you, and I love you guys. I
appreciate you. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that.
By the way, Masahiro Tanaka is still pitching.
Okay.
He's still pitching at 38, 37 years old.
What team is he on?
Hoffman and Dove looked it up, but he's still pitching. He has 45.
Recruiting. Okay.
45 innings he's pitched.
How many whiffs?
Strikeouts, let's see. 30 and 45.
Nah, pitched to too much contact. We can't have him back.
ERA is 4.37, so he'd fit right in with the Mets starting.
Call him Mets. Call him up, Mets.
He'd fit with the Yankees. Clark Schmidt's pitching tonight. Does that make you feel good?
No.
See, I find it interesting, though. So, you know, I know all these. That's why with the whole Met song back in the day and my Met memories from my dad. Hoff was in the house tonight. Arapu took the rubber, struck out 9 Tigers.
I was there.
Were you wearing a Yankee jersey?
No.
You were there, so it's not a ludicrous question.
No chance. I would not wear Yankee gear ever. Actually, that's not true.
I mean, come on.
I would.
wait. So, when, better question. When was the last time that you wore Yankee gear?
I wore it a couple. Was it last year for the playoffs? I wore it for my kids in my house. I have a CC Sabathia jersey.
Why did you do that?
Because they asked me to. For the kids. It's for the kids.
You know, there's a picture of me floating somewhere in a Mets jersey, but I got an out. It's my dad's from the Dream Week.
It's not an out. No, it is. You're still rocking a Mets jersey.
I'll tell you why, though. Because when he got back from that, he was playing in an over 40 baseball league in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And I guess I was probably a sophomore in high school. And the ump didn't show, and they were a guy short, so they let me play. And I had to rock the uniform, you know? And what am I not going to put it on? And I'll be honest with you, Hoff, like, back then, and I know I'm not alone on this, that line wasn't as clear. Not that you rooted for both teams. You definitely didn't do that. But I don't know. I feel like there's almost this, people are predisposed to voice their displeasure or hate for the other team. And I think a lot of it's contrived. I'll be honest with you. I really do.
A lot of it built in the early 2000s. Like the late 90s, early 2000s is where it really went head to head. That's where the explosion of Mets Yankees versus each other really took place.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. That's a good point.
I would have to say that when the Yankees won their first World Series in 96,
yeah,
I wasn't like, oh man, this stinks.
No, I was the same way with the Mets in 86.
Yeah.
I was actually rooting for the Mets to beat Boston.
It wasn't until they won back to a couple in a row, and then the Mets-Yankees World Series, and that's when things just kind of went downhill for the Mets.
That's a good point. So if that doesn't, they just weren't as, I don't know, the energy wasn't as hostile, even though it's not always coming from a bad place. But I don't know, it just seems, it does seem largely contrived. Like, I didn't process it that way as a kid. I respected the Mets. I'd always say Mattingly's better than Keith, and my buddy would say Keith is better. But that was it. He didn't want to see the Mets lose. It wasn't this anger.
If the Yankees win a World Series this year, next year, whenever, and the Mets don't.
It's back?
No.
What?
No, I'm still happy.
For your kids.
Yeah, but I'm happy that the city has gotten a championship. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Like, I want that. Yeah. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I don't care who wins. I want the Mets to win every year.
What if the Devils won the Stanley Cup this year? Would you feel good about that as a Rangers fan?
I guess because you go that same adage.
CeeLo, hop in here, bro.
What?
CeeLo.
No.
Wait, did CeeLo, you just say you'd feel good about the Devils winning the Cup?
I didn't say it felt great.
Well, you didn't say you feel terrible either. CeeLo, you would hate it.
There can't be Ranger Devil love.
Why would you
I'm
hate
sorry.
It?
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Because they're arch rivals.
Arch rivals?
No, I'll explain it this way. This is the comparison I always make.
Okay.
Rangers, as a Ranger fan, the Islanders don't bother me. Why? Because I was born in 1986 after their dynasty was done.
Yep.
Okay. The Rangers, since they won the Stanley Cup, the Devils, by and large, have dominated that matchup. And they've won three cups.
Stanley Cups
since then. I grew up in New Jersey in the Brodeur heyday.
So they're in your way.
It's just bad blood.
Well, how disappointed
I've got scars.
Are you?
Listen, I've got scars from the Devils.
So then, and to an extent, you would agree with what BT is saying because the Mets aren't in the Yankees' way.
100%. As a Yankee fan, I have nothing against the Mets.
Yeah, we don't
and
the Mets.
Giants/Jets are not in each other's way.
Totally agree.
Unless they meet in the Super
Knicks
Bowl.
Knicks and Nets and the Rangers, Isles, and Devils is different. But
they play in the same division. The baseball and 100%. The football, they're in separate leagues.
Yeah. Seton Hall, St. John's. I get that. All right, cool.
Yeah, but
how disappointed are you in this guy? What are you saying?
We need a championship in the Tri-State. It's getting a little dry now.
No, but I'm sorry. I can't check that box with the Devils and feel good about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If you're a Rangers fan.
It's great for
huh?
the Devil fan, not for the Ranger fan.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to take the L on that, Hoff. Come on. He used to take any L, so he'll take the L there.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.